I'm excited. This is the earliest I've gotten up here in a while. So what does that mean, huh? Oh, my. So this morning, the message, I'll put the title up here, Choose This Day. You might have a sense of where that comes from. It is a scripture that we'll look at in just a moment. It's not a feel-good sermon, okay? It's not a condemning sermon. That you know me. I mean, most of you, many of you know me for a long time. You know my heart. I'm not a person that condemns or anything. But it's a listen, wake up, you know, kind of thing, sort of message, I guess. And you know, I'll probably say some things that might get me in trouble. You say, Pastor Tim, why would you ever say that? Because you'll listen closer. No, I don't think I'll. We'll see. You can tell me. Believe me, I know I'll hear. You know, I was talking to a pastor this week, and he said, you know, I just don't go down some roads. And he was specifically talking about politics and such like that. And I don't generally, you know, go too far down that road, but I'm not afraid to say what I believe is truth, you know, because I do believe that the Word of God touches every area of life. And we need to be able to speak. And again, I'm not going down that road really today or anything like that, but I was just kind of taken aback a little bit. I mean, this is a brother I really love, but he said, I just don't want to offend people. And I thought, man, you know, I hear you, and I understand, and I don't want to offend people unnecessarily. But, you know, sometimes you just got to speak the word. And again, I know sometimes we can couch our things and say, well, I'm just preaching the word, and we're not. We're just kind of maybe going off a little bit on a tangent. But I say all that. Maybe I shouldn't have got into all that, but you know, this is a message that's really just stirring in my heart. We are in a difficult time. You know, there's a lot happening, as I'm sure all of you are aware of, and it's putting us as the church in a place where we have to choose what side we're going to be on. Amen? And that scripture I was making reference to, that the title is coming from, is Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We all have to make a choice. We all have to make a choice. And you know what? There is a time in our lives where, you know, we make a choice, and I know it's the work of the Holy Spirit that draws us, but I do believe in going down that road today that our will and our willingness to say yes to Him comes into play. But there is that point in our lives where we make the biggest choice we'll ever make, to serve Jesus, to live for Him, to surrender our lives to Him. But don't kid yourself and think that's a once-in-a-lifetime choice. I mean, you know what, I don't mean in regards to your salvation, but I'm talking about how each of us, even as Christians, and even after walking with the Lord for many, many years, you know, every day, to some degree or another, we have to make a choice of how we're going to live. So this is a recurring thing. This isn't just for first-time believers, those who's coming to Christ. We have to make a choice. And it might seem at times like, and I say seem because it's a little bit of, no, it's more than a little bit. It's a delusion to think that we can straddle the fence, to think that we can sit on the fence, to think that we can have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, right? I mean, we can kind of kid ourselves sometimes and think that that's possible when there's not a lot of pressure and there's not a lot of adversity and life's kind of going smoothly, and we can kind of, we think we can straddle the fence. But then there are those times when it just becomes so clear that you can't, and you've got to choose. And you've got to either be hot or cold. You've got either got to be with him or against him. The middle ground disappears. And like I say, it's an illusion anyways, the middle ground. But I think we're kind of at a time like that, where, you know, it's get right or get left sort of thing, you know, and I don't say that in a political sense or anything, but, you know, figure out where you're at. Figure out where you're at in your life and take a stand and don't back down. I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, and I'm going to begin in verse 15, and I'm going to read through verse 20. The last two verses I have on the screen, the first few I don't. It was just kind of a long passage, so I didn't make slides for all of it. But I'm going to begin reading in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15. And then, like I say, when I get to, I think, 19, I'll put those last couple up on the screen. It says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess." See, that's the heart of God. Like, I think Tim made some reference, I can't remember exactly what he said. You know, I mean, God, he wants to do good things in our lives. You know, that is his heart. That is his starting point. That is his default setting. But it says in verse 17, "If your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish." This is part of the message, right? It's not just all the blessing and the good. I mean, we've got to understand there's a choice, there's a dividing line, and we've got to decide where we're going to be. "And you shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess." And then in verse 19, whoops, sorry, why did that do that? It went way ahead. Verse 19, "I call," well, that says 18 through 20, but I think it's 19 through, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." Right? It's pretty simple. God's saying, this is not complicated, you know, in one sense. "Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." When God puts a choice in front of us, it's a significant choice. Amen? It's not vanilla or chocolate. It's not original or crispy. This is a choice of great significance. This is a choice of life or death, blessing or cursing, good or evil. This is a big, big choice. And we all face it. You can look at it on an individual level. You can look at it at a church level. I think God's laying out some choices for his church. Where are you going to be? In this day that we live, where is the church going to stand? And it even has an application on even a national level. You know, where is our country? And where are we going to stand? And I know that's more complicated. You got 332 million people, and some are followers of Jesus Christ and some are not, and, you know, all that. But I think, you know, as the church in America, we've got to make a choice of how we're going to stand, and hopefully we do our part, and God, it releases God to do what he wants to do in our land. See, here's the thing. America is hanging in the balance. Do you believe me? I mean, we are hanging in the balance. There, you know, which way is it going to go? And I'll talk about this, what I'm going to talk about here in a second. But, you know, there's a lot of things, and, you know, Tim was talking about CareNet, and please understand, you know, the ministry of CareNet, you know, Sharon and Randy LeBaron were at the office. I guess they were looking through old pictures, and they pulled up 30-some-year-old pictures, you know, of some CareNet things, and asking me, like, who's this person? I don't know who all the, I can't remember. But so CareNet's been around a long time, and it's a ministry you know, obviously primarily for women who are in a crisis pregnancy and such. And that's really the vision that started that ministry back in 1991 when it first opened its doors 30 years ago. But, you know, there's so much more to that ministry now, the post-abortive part of that ministry, you know, reaching out and ministering to women who have gone through abortion and such. So I say all that because I want to preface what I'm going to say in just a second. There is love, there is healing, there's forgiveness, there's restoration. Amen? If your life has been touched by an abortion, either personally or in your family or your girlfriend or wife, it touches so many people in so many different ways. Please understand the love of God. Please understand the forgiveness and the healing and the restoration and all that. Because it's real and it's powerful. And God does such a complete transformative work. And I say all that before I say this. It's a serious matter. The blood of 65 plus million children is crying out from the ground in our nation. And that's a serious thing. And I say that with no condemnation toward anyone, because there's forgiveness and all that I just went through there for a moment, or a moment ago. But it's a serious thing. And so our nation is in the balance. And why do I bring that up when there's so many other things? Because to me, that is one of the most central issues. You talk about life and death, blessing and cursing and such like that, good and evil. It's so epitomized in that. So we are in a precarious place. This has been going on for, you know, 50 years or so now and more, you know, before even Roe v. Wade and such. So it's a serious thing. But here's the thing, guys. I live with the hope of revival. I do believe that these dry bones can live, speaking of our nation. I'll tell you, I believe with all, you know, and if you don't know the reference, it's Ezekiel when the prophet, the Lord gave the prophet Ezekiel a vision of a valley full of dry bones, bleached, white, you know, brittle bones. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these dry bones live?" And what did he say? "Lord, you know, right? I don't have the answer, but you know." And then the bones began to move, and you know, it's a great passage of scripture and such. So I live with that hope that for all that has happened and all that the negative things and such, I live with the hope of revival. I live with the hope of a great move of God that will turn our nation in a more righteous direction. Amen? I hope you share that hope as well. It doesn't always look very encouraging, though, you know, with the natural eyes, right? It doesn't look very encouraging. And I really believe there are two destinies set before our nation. One is very bright and one is very dark. One is an outpouring of the Spirit of God, a return to righteousness, just a move of His Spirit, and the other, you know, we talk about outpouring, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, there's also a time when there's an outpouring of the cup of the wrath of the Lord, too. And you know, those are the destinies that are set before us. And, you know, and I don't necessarily think, like I said, 332 million people, and I don't think that revival looks like, you know, a clean sweep where every person, you know, that people are going to choose still, and some are going to choose not to follow the ways of righteousness and will, you know, have the consequences of that. But, so it's not so clear, a clear cut, you know, it's going to be all this way or all that way. I think there's going to be some, you know, mixture as we go forward. But my prayer and my hope is that there's enough of a turning and enough of an awakening in the church and enough repentance in the church that we can come to that place where we can see our nation going in a better direction. But we've got a choice to make. It kind of reminds me of the choice when Moses came down from the mountain in Exodus 32. And what did the children of Israel, what had they done? They had made a golden, or Aaron, you know, with their prompting and such, had made a golden calf. And so they're engaging in idolatry, and they're worshiping this golden calf. And Moses comes down from the mountain, smashes the tablets. That was a bold thing to do. I'm not sure how it had the courage to do. These were the tablets that God had given him, and he smashes them on the ground. And he says, Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. That was a choose this day moment for the people of Israel. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Choose this day. Some chose righteousness and some did not. Set the record straight. Not that I'm the absolute authority on this subject, but this is the way I see it. We are not going back to the way things used to be. Whether that's pre-pandemic, you know, and I'm not saying, I mean, I do hope we get a handle on COVID and all that. And, you know, can you believe that it's almost October of 2021 and we're still dealing with this? I'm going to talk about that a little bit more here in a minute. But when I say we're not going back to pre-pandemic life, I'm not necessarily saying, you know, that it's going to be, you know, constant struggle with COVID. But things are different. And things are not going to be the way they were before. We're not going back to a pre-9/11 world either, right? I mean, there's these dividing points in time where things happen. And I get it, right? I think we all feel that sometimes. Oh, I just want things to be the way they were. I mean, not that it was always great before or whatever, but I get it. I understand that. But we're not going back to that. We're not going back to, you know, times before. We are living in a new season, and things are intensifying and things are accelerating. And what we're going through right now is probably a lot closer to what the majority of the world, you know, has been normal for them for a long, long, long time, right? I mean, we just, as Americans, we're just not used to it. We're not used to going through these kinds of, this kind of tumultuous, times and such. And I know, you know, there's certainly been times throughout history and such like that. But we're just not used to it. And, you know, it reminds me of the story in Daniel, and, Doug and Kate have talked about this before. You know, when the furnace is turned up seven times hotter, right? The king was angry at the three Hebrew children and that they wouldn't bow down and worship him and the pagan gods and such. And so he has them thrown into the fire, but they turn the furnace up seven times hotter, right? And then the king looks through the flames and he sees, and he said, "I thought I only put three in there, and there's four in the fire. And the fourth looks like the Son of God." And that was, you know, what Doug and Kate, I remember a number of months ago when Doug was going through his surgery and stuff. When the furnace gets turned up seven times hotter, look for the fourth man, right? Look for that other one in the fire with you. So that's an encouraging. This is not meant to be in any way a discouraging message. I'm excited. I do, like I say, I live with this hope in me. But when the furnace gets turned up seven times hotter, you know, the life changes. And I know, listen, we're not living in North Korea, right? So we don't have a whole lot to complain about as the Church of Jesus Christ. But, you know, we are going through our things, and, you know, things are happening, and we've got to choose this day who we're going to serve and how we're going to live our lives. You know, the Bible talks about a time, and it's in reference to the coming of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus, but it talks about a time when men's hearts will fail them. It says that in Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And again, Jesus spoke those words in the context of his second coming. And I don't know. I'm not saying we're at that point. I don't know. You know, I know there's people who have strong beliefs about that one way or the other. Here's the thing. Every generation of Christ followers has believed they were the terminal generation, right? For almost 2,000 years. You know, every generation, you know, Jesus is going to come back in our day. The Bible does talk about something called the Day of the Lord. And again, it's a reference to his return, the Day of the Lord. But even prior to that, even prior to that event, whenever that happens, there are all kinds of times and all kinds of situations where we've got to choose and where things, you know, get intense and to whatever degree we're in one of those times. But, you know, just this reference to the Day of the Lord. And again, I know it's in the context of the second coming of Christ. And don't, you know, go out here and say, Pastor Tim said the Lord's coming back, you know, whatever, you know, at this or that time. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just thinking about some of the things that happened during that time. And I wonder if, you know, there's a prelude, you know, to some of those things at different times. Because it says in Joel that it says the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful Day of the Lord. I was just thinking about that verse this week, and I was thinking about that term, the great and dreadful Day of the Lord. And, you know, here's the thing. I just want to focus on those two words. The word great, I don't think there's much mystery to that word. Every translation, you read it and it says, everyone that I'm aware of, it uses the word great, you know, and it's pretty simple, pretty easy to understand. There's not a lot of mystery. But that second word is a little more intriguing. It's a Hebrew word. I can't even begin to pronounce it. The NIV uses the word dreadful. The King James and some others use the word terrible. Some translations use the word awesome. So it's different ideas, you know. Something that one, you know, I wouldn't, you know, something that you would say is terrible, you probably wouldn't say was awesome, at least in our vernacular, you know, at least in the way that we would use the word. But the word means, and I won't try to pronounce it, to fear, to be afraid, to stand in awe, to cause astonishment, amongst other renderings. And here's the thing, and some people have said, oh, no, you know, dreadful, terrible, it doesn't mean the way we use it. It's more like that idea of awesome. But I tell you, I was really, you know, kind of digging into this word and trying to understand it. And I think there's something there. I think there's really something there about the great and dreadful, the great and terrible Day of the Lord. And here's the thing. For some, the Day of the Lord will be a great day. But for others, depending on how you look at that word, it could be a dreadful day. Or terrible day. It's going to hit different people differently. And again, that's talking about the second coming of Christ. But what we go through even now, even today, as we walk out our lives now, it's going to hit different people differently. To some, you know, and it's all based on where we're at with Jesus, right? I mean, that is the bottom line. It's where we are at in our life with Him. And I'm not saying when I say, oh, it's great, or, you know, the great day of the, you know, no, there's suffering going on, but it's just, there's a confidence that you have in your life, that your life is standing on the rock, that you are firm, the foundation that you stand on is firm. It doesn't mean you're just the opposite. It doesn't mean that you, you know, don't care about other people. You do, and your heart is passionate for other people. But for some, the Day of the Lord, it's going to be a very difficult time. And even what we are walking through right now, some are going to have the security and the stability because our lives are built on a strong foundation, and others are going to say, this is, you know, they just don't even know what to do, you know, how to even respond, how to live, you know, through what some of these things that we're going through and maybe might in the future. But this idea that the same circumstances can hit different people differently, I mean, that to me is just beyond debate, right? Because it all depends. It's all related to where we stand with Jesus. How do you keep your sanity? You know, there are times when you just kind of look at what's going on, and you just kind of shake your head, and it's just like, wow. And I'll tell you, you know, this is a little bit of a detour here, but it's a detour I need to just take for a second. I find such refuge and sanctuary in prayer, in the presence of the Lord. I don't say that to sound super spiritual. I got a long ways to go in my prayer life, and as we all do. But I am so, it so refocuses and so recenters my life when I stop and try to block out other things, and maybe I'm sitting in my office, that's a lot of times where I am at, and just trying to spend time with the Lord. And that is such a refuge for me. That is such a sanctuary for me. That is such a place where, you know, you can get all these things that you're dealing with and all these things that you're seeing and struggling with, and God just helps to bring those things into perspective. You know, I don't always get an answer for every dilemma and everything I'm wondering and praying about and such. I don't get a, you know, word from the Lord about everything, but I just, when you spend time with Him, there is just such a peace that comes over you. Amen? I just such a peace from God. And again, not the kind of peace that says, I don't care what happens, because I do. I care deeply. I care deeply about what's happening. Jesus, when he was speaking, you know, as he was on the cross and he talked about, or heading to the cross, and he said, when you see all these things happening, he said, lift up your head because your redemption draws near, right? But then there's other times. I think I've got a couple of verses up here. You know, it says that people, this is in Revelation, that they call to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Right? The same kind of things that Jesus said to the redeemed, to those, he said, look up and rejoice because your redemption draws near. Others are going to be saying things, whoops, where am I? This thing's acting goofy today. Oh, this verse, it's in Luke 23. That's why I lost my train of thought when the thing went weird there. Luke 23:31. Jesus said in the verse prior to that, he repeats that, what's in Revelation. Jesus said it in Luke 23:30. He said that people would say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. And then in verse 31, he says, but if they do these things in a green wood, what meaning, or some translations say in a green tree, meaning if they do these things, crucifying the Son of God. If they do these things when things are relatively good, what are they going to do? What in the world are people going to do when it dries up, when things really go south? If people act the way they act when things are, relatively speaking, not that bad, what can you imagine when the bottom falls out? When Jesus spoke to the church, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, in the church of Thyatira, it says that, and they were dealing with some kind of, he calls it that woman Jezebel. Now, I don't know if it was an actual person or a spirit or whatever that was going on in the church. And he said, but he says to the church in Thyatira, because they were not where they belonged, he said, I gave her time to repent. And God, that's God's heart. Like I said, that's his default. He wants good things. God's heart is good. That is his starting point. But don't think that we can abuse that. Don't think that we can just go merrily on our way and forget the consequences of not repenting, of not being right with God. I just want to talk for a minute or two here. And, you know, I mentioned in the beginning about COVID and I believe, I'll say it again, I've said it again and again over the last year and a half. I don't think God caused it, but I do believe he can use it. Amen? And I think that this that we have walked through and are still walking through is a real time of testing for us as Christians. I think it's a little taste of maybe, you know, some of the things that we might have to face as we go forward. And how do we respond? Back in November, I wrote this on Facebook. I don't know, I just had these thoughts about, I said, we need godly petitioning, not social distancing. We need our hearts in a humble place, not cover our face. We need to cleanse our heart, not just wash our hands. We need God to intervene, not just a vaccine. We need to follow the signs of heaven, not just the science of men. We need to stop sinning with impunity, and not just seeking herd immunity. We need through prayer to bear down, not live in a lockdown. And I said, we are looking for answers in all the wrong places. We are looking for answers in all the wrong places. God is giving his church time to repent, and I fear we're missing it. In this time of testing, in this time when the furnace, it hasn't been heated up seven times hotter, but the heat is definitely increased. And you cannot find natural solutions to a spiritual problem. A lot of people, and this is no statement about, we're not going to go there, about the vaccine, you know, right, wrong, otherwise. If you were at men's group on Wednesday night, we covered the whole thing. And that was a safer place than to do it on Sunday morning. But we talked about everything from, you know, mandates to, you know, religious exemption. We talked about the whole idea of, you know, being in submission to authority, because that's the overarching truth, right? That we are to obey civil authority and such like that. And when we talked about when are the times where you don't, right? Because clearly in scripture even says there's times that you don't. And I'm not, again, you know, everybody's got to sort that out. I'd be happy to talk to you about it if you're interested. You know, I have my thoughts and, you know, I'm just constantly in prayer about this sort of thing. But the point is, we are trying to find natural, man-made solutions to a spiritual problem. And we wonder why things aren't getting better. Because everybody thought, I say everybody, a lot of people thought, man, I'm going to get a shot in my arm and then everything's going to go back to normal. Right? It's all going to end, you know, all this craziness, this, and we're going back to this pre-pandemic life. And if somehow God is using this as a wake-up call for the church, do you think that some kind of man-made vaccine is going to fix it? No. And again, I'm not making a statement about the vaccine. I'm just saying there's a deeper issue at work. I was reading, I'll tell you, this whole thing, I spend a lot of time before the Lord trying to find what I believe is his heart, you know, for me and how to respond to all this. I was reading. I just want to make a point here. So 42 million people, that's the number that if you look it up right now, CDC, whatever, 42 million people roughly have had COVID in the United States, but they believe that the real number is much, much higher than that, right? A lot of unreported cases. I even read one place that said they thought it could be four times higher than that. I have no idea. Some 200 million people have gotten the vaccine, like 212 million have gotten one dose. Well, just under 200 million have got both, you know, if they did the ones that are two doses. Then there's 332 million people in the country, right? So, and I know a lot of people that had the virus also got the vaccine. I get all that, you know, that there's overlap there. But the bottom line is that a significant percentage of our population should have some kind of immunity, either via natural immunity, which I know you don't dare talk about, right? But natural immunity or through the vaccine, whether that, you know, to whatever degree. And so in September, this is 2 weeks ago that I was reading this. September of 2021, there are 316% more cases of COVID than in September of 2020. I'm like, how can that be? With all the people that have had it and all the people that have had the vaccine, and there's over three times as many cases of COVID now in September of 2020 than there was, or 2021, as there was a year ago before there was any vaccine. And when I read that, there had been 4 million cases in the 4 weeks leading up to when this was written. We're going to go through every letter of the Greek alphabet with variants, right? And probably have to start on a different alphabet. COVID is here to stay. I'm not saying that, you know, in the sense that we got to live in this weird whatever. But, you know, it's a virus. And it's probably, who knows, you know, maybe it'll go away. But I don't know. You know, I just don't know what to make out of all of that sometimes, but I do believe it's a spiritual issue and we can't just look for a man-made fix. That's the bottom line. You know, and the hard thing, this is where I get off a little bit, might tweak a couple of people, but the hard thing right now is Who do you believe? Can you believe? Well, you know, if you turn on your television and you know, wherever you get, whatever sources you look to, you know, what can you believe? I mean, we're not experts, right? Most of us, we don't know. You know, we have to choose where we're going to find our answers and such like that, and it's difficult. And here's the thing, we've been lied to so many times, right? It gets hard to just like, who do you believe and such. And that's why, man, we've got a leg up on everybody because we got the Lord and we got the Holy Spirit and we can ask him for his direction. You know, because I'm not real confident in what I hear on television. Sorry. The same people that said the Afghanistan withdrawal was a huge success and the southern border is secure also said the vaccine is safe and effective. So that gives me great confidence, right? Sorry. If we're missing the root of the problem, then nothing but a large scale returning to Jesus, a repentance, a coming back to him, that's the only thing that's going to fix this. And we got to choose this day. Whose side are we on? You know, and again, I'm not knocking the vaccine. Please believe me. Just in the interest of full disclosure, I have not been vaccinated, but I am praying and trying to find the mind of the Lord. I'm not close to the idea, just in case you need to know. But this is the woman in the Gospel of Mark. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. That's what happens when you try to find a man-made solution to a problem that has a spiritual root. She had spent everything that she had, and she had only gotten worse. I feel like I rambled a little bit. Let me wrap it up by saying this. What do we do? Some people I know, and I love and respect dearly, but it's almost like they've just kind of written it off. You know, written our country off. You know, we're on the slide and there ain't no turning back. And I'm just not there. And to the day I die, I hope and pray, you know, I'm just not there. Because I do live, as I said before, with the hope of revival that God's going to do something above and beyond what we could ask or think. It is very easy to write our nation off and say it's over. That's where the safe money is, if you're a betting person. Not that I would encourage you to do that, but it's like the football team that's down by 2 touchdowns with 2 minutes left. The safe money says they ain't going to pull it out. It looks impossible. And that's kind of where we're at, I think, as a nation a little bit. You know, the safe money says, you know, we're not going to pull it out. You know, we're in a dive. You know, there's a point in time, I don't know a whole lot about aviation, but there's a point in time where you cannot pull out of the dive, right? And that's easy. It's easy for all of us to just say that that's the way it's going. But I believe these dry bones can live. Why would we give up? You know, why invest in something that looks hopeless? How many have children? How many have grandchildren? See, that's where it gets really real for me. Right? If you're getting on in years, as we all are to some degree or another, it's easy to say, you know, I've had a good life, man. And I think about that. I feel like I'm the most blessed person, and I feel like I've had a great life, and I have no complaints, and I'm going to go see Jesus someday, maybe someday soon. I don't know. Who knows? But I'm going out fighting. Amen. I'm going out fighting, and I'm going to go out believing God for good things. There's too much at stake. There's too much at stake in the generations that come after. If it's not for this generation, it's for the future generations if the Lord tarries. Because I don't know when he's returning. And I'm going to fight for my kids. I'm going to fight for my grandchildren. And I'm not going to give up and just say, it's hopeless. You know, circle the wagons. And I'm not going to live in fear. We've got a fight on our hands, and the church has got to wake up and see what's at stake. Jesus is the only answer. Choose this day who you will serve. I don't have the verse on the screen, but I was thinking of it this morning. It's in Psalm 124. It says, if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger flared against us, the flood would have engulfed us, the torrents would have swept over us, the raging waters would have swept us away. If the Lord had not been on our side. But I believe, and it's not so much God being on our side, right? As much as it's us being on his side. Please stand with me. Amen. Amen. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. In the darkest of times, this was just hope. I don't know, I said a lot of stuff today. Ooh, I don't know what happened. What should I do, Doug? We got it? All right. So, be careful. I'm pushing it. I meant this to be an encouragement. I hope you took it that way. But an encouragement to press into Jesus. An encouragement to press into him. And this is still having a problem, Doug. That's what you can tell, I'm sure. Want me to use this? Do you want me to use this? We good? Where are we? I have nothing. I don't know if I'm on my headset or the... Are we working? Okay. So it was really meant to be an encouragement to those that are pressing in and trying to go forward with Jesus, but it's also a warning to the fence sitters. Okay? You cannot sit on the fence. You cannot ride the fence. And if that is speaking to you, I implore you, choose this day whom you will serve. Who you will serve. Bow your head with me as we pray. Father, I hope some of this made sense. I feel like I was all over the map a little bit. So forgive me if you were having a hard time following my thoughts. I just had a lot stirring inside of me, and I hope it was from you, Lord, at least a good part of it I hope was from you. If I said anything that was out of line, Lord, please scratch that from the record. I just am burdened for where we're at, and just burdened because I feel like sometimes the church is just not responding to the promptings and to the leading of the Holy Spirit and what you're saying, and you're telling us to be ready, and you're telling us to choose, and you're telling us to wake up, and you're telling us to pray and to seek you and all those things, God. And I fear that sometimes we just want to be comfortable. We just want to all go away. And we don't want to have to pay the price, and we don't want to have to choose, and we don't want to have to stick our neck out. But dear God, we live in these times, and I'm so grateful. I am grateful, and I hope you are too, that we could be alive. We can be here for such a time as this. Wouldn't trade it for the world. God, because I want to see your victory. I want to see what you can do through a repentant people, through a humble people, through a holy people who are seeking you and living for you and not compromising on their faith. So Lord, wake us up, wake us up, wake us up, I pray. And if anybody's just hearing my voice here online or whatever and you don't know Jesus, my goodness, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you think we're going back to something that you were familiar with before, forget that. We're pressing into a new time, a new season. And we can look up and we can rejoice. Because our God is, he is not, listen, church, he has not surrendered one ounce of authority. He is the Lord and he does not change and he is over all. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. So man, I want to be on his side. So Lord, just please work in our hearts. And if anybody needs to come to you and surrender to you, God. I pray they would have the courage to say yes to you, even now, acknowledging their sin and acknowledging their love for you and what you did for them on the cross. God, we pray it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. You're dismissed. You're dismissed. Have a great day.